So super films cast.
It's beautiful.
Thanks. Now this is podcasting.
What is up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Super Films Cast.
Show hot dog fingers.
64. We're talking hot dog fingers. We're talking all things film and the Oscars, and we got Blake Ball here. Blake, how you doing?
Better than last time.
Yeah? You always seem like you're in a state of not doing too well.
Well, you sound like my therapist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cut deep.
Yeah. No, I'm doing better. But yeah. No. Still not getting text backs from the Bumble girls, but you know what? I don't need them.
You don't need them. You just need to focus on yourself.
I need to buy more mirrors.
What about the Grindr girls?
Well, so they, they ended up not really being like traditional girls, but so, I am pro.
Thailand.
Yeah. I'm pro. I fuck with it.
Yeah.
Bleep that out.
You go there to get the drugs.
Yeah.
You go there to get the drugs.
Stay for the...
Yeah.
For what?
Stay for the...
Go on.
The, you know...
You've talked yourself into, this.
I like them.
Okay.
That's good, Blake.
There's nothing wrong with that. And this is a judgment-free zone.
King.
Like Planet Fitness.
Hello. We got Jay King. God, I hate Planet Fitness. We got Jay King here. Jay, how you doing?
What's up? I'm good. I missed you guys.
Jay's here to bring common sense back into the world of film discussion, right?
That's right.
You're right?
That's right. I only watch quality cinema, like Dirty Work with Norm MacDonald.
Yes, that's your peak of cinema, which
and
me
Trading
and
Places.
I reviewed that.
Peak
and
of cinema
it.
Might be Cable Guy with Jim Carrey.
We got we decided we needed the Man Show equivalent of a host. And
you
we
did?
Got Jay.
Yes. Am I more Adam Carolla or Jimmy Kimmel?
You're more Adam. I feel like Adam Carolla is the real deal. I feel like he is not maybe been.
He's not woke like Jimmy
Kimmel. Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel's
is
all.
Is that what you wanted to say?
Jimmy Kimmel is not. We can talk about the Oscars since we're talking Jimmy Kimmel. I think Jimmy Kimmel can be funny, but I just don't find him real.
He's a hack.
I think
yeah.
I found him
no,
a lot
a
funnier
hack.
In high school.
Sure.
I don't dislike him, but it's just, I don't know. He's not as funny as it once appealed to me.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think Jimmy Kimmel as a late night host is great. I think he's got really good interview skills.
Him and Guillermo.
Yeah. Way better than Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, but Jimmy Fallon sucks.
Yes. Yeah. But
oh, that's funny.
But
Jimmy agrees with everything.
Yeah.
Fallon.
But what's funny is if I had to sit through like a stand-up comedian show, 10 times over, I'd rather watch Jimmy Fallon than Jimmy Kimmel. Because I truthfully don't think Jimmy Kimmel's funny. I think he's got a good show, and I think the people around him are funny. Like, if he didn't have Guillermo, the show wouldn't be that funny. But I still think he's a good interviewer.
Sure. I don't really watch his show too much. I'm a big Conan stan.
Yeah, Conan's 100%. The best, dude.
I think we can all agree.
Conan is top of the top.
Yeah.
He was the blueprint.
Him and Craig Ferguson of late night shows.
Jimmy Fallon is... I think Jimmy Fallon and Illumination Pictures are the same entity, where it's just like... You know Illumination, they did the Minions movies?
Yeah, Minions.
I think they're
and
just
Mario.
Like the most...
They did.
That Mario movie looks good.
Yeah,
but
they're doing
I
the Mario
think
movie. It does
it's just
good.
So clean and safe and top 40 and inoffensive. And it just,
I think you're right with that because I found Jimmy Fallon's show a lot more entertaining when he was the show after The Tonight Show.
Uh-huh.
Like doing the 11:30 slot. Mm. He was a little more, I don't know, risque, as you'd say.
Yeah.
Since you said he's not, you know, he's being the... family friendly,
less eyes on him.
All positive dude all the time.
Yeah, we gotta toe the corporate line here, you know, kind of thing. Jimmy Fallon hosted the Oscars. Did you guys watch any of the Oscars?
I was on a boat.
You were on a boat, and that's why you couldn't.
I didn't
do your
see
picks.
Anything. Yes, I didn't get those texts until like 4 or 5 days after they
that's
were sent.
That's fine. It's my fault. I should have sent that like the day of. So. It's my fault. You would have lost anyway.
It's okay. I made picks on the show, just not the other ones.
You would have lost those.
I did lose those because I picked Banshees for one of them, and I didn't.
And
I
you picked. That movie didn't and get you picked Top Gun for Best Picture.
It was that a bad
like
choice?
An idiot, yes.
No,
it was a pretty bad.
No,
choice.
It wasn't. It was a bold was a decision because it choice. Saved the cinema. You bad wouldn't choice. Have gotten Everything Everywhere All at Once
it came
if
out
you got Top Gun.
Before
no,
Top
it didn't.
Gun.
No, it didn't.
It came out
COVID,
in March.
COVID.
No, I think
Top
you're
Gun
wrong.
2 was ready, and you just don't know that. It was like 20.
No, they were filming it during COVID. Yeah.
Well, either way,
one. Yeah,
it saved the cinemas, okay?
Yeah, I don't.
So
that
I don't,
doesn't mean it's going to win Best Picture.
Well, Steven Spielberg probably agreed with me over you, so that's what he would have won.
I don't know. I think he would have won his own movie to win.
No, that would have seemed self-centered if he chose his own movie. He's like, I don't want to be like that guy.
Uh-huh.
I've already made a movie about myself. Yeah. I don't want it to win.
Right. So, did you watch the Oscars at all?
I did not. I forgot what I was doing. I remember...
Drugs.
I remember you texted me asking if I was watching it, and I had a reason. I texted you say I'm not because I'm doing something, but it must not have been that important because I can't remember what I was doing.
Right.
But I have the internet, so I just was keeping up with it. Even if I'll put it this way, even if I didn't have anything to do, I would have been watching literally anything but the Oscars. Mm-hmm. I hate all of that, like Hollywood just like panning like a stroke fest.
Itself.
Yeah, it's pisses me
Circle
off.
Circle jerk.
Yeah, literally. I don't want to see a bunch of rich, famous people talking about how good they are. Like,
not
I don't
everyone's
care.
Rich that gets awards, though. I mean, like, not everyone there is like making millions of dollars.
Like, you know, I got like 13 on my bank account. They're all doing better than me.
Did it get a bump in
it did. So,
people watching?
Yeah. I have the story here. We could just
too early for
do this story. Yeah. It drew 18.8 million viewers, up 13% from last year. And it was the most watched.
Damn, 13%?
Yeah. And it was the most watched.
Was it for Brendan Fraser?
No, I bet you it was just Everything Everywhere All at Once. Yeah. Outperformed the 2023 Grammys. I saw somewhere that it was like the most viewed. Yeah. Since like 2020 of any award show.
Really? So yeah. Beat out the Grammys. Sometimes I find the Grammys more entertaining to watch than the Oscars just because you're getting the musical performances.
See,
and you're
getting
stuff like
you're getting the slap.
Yeah.
I've never been music performance guy. I think that's probably what you need to cut out.
Oh, really? See, I love it. Like when Metallica was on there, their Lady Gaga performance, that was actually really, really cool. And I didn't think that would work. Or like when Kendrick Lamar was on there, it was awesome. I do like the musical performances.
Plus,
but some of them aren't that good.
In 09, whenever Blink-182 got back together for the first time, they announced it at the Grammys.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Travis Barker had a broken arm because of the plane crash.
Man, that's why they got back together.
Yeah.
And then Mark almost dies, and then they get back together. I'm sensing a theme here.
Yeah, it takes personal tragedy to get Tom off the aliens.
So
it was up against, you know, The Last of Us, the finale for The Last of Us. So
did they release The Last of Us early that night?
No, they didn't.
Okay.
No.
They just did that for Super Bowl. Okay.
I guess, you know, you have Everything Everywhere All at Once, Top Gun Maverick. You have... Avatar, you had the slap the year before, so there's a lot of factors that maybe made this one more popular than the last two.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was up. I did watch the first part, and then I had to go do something and
take a dump.
No, I didn't watch the rest of it, but I did see it. You know, his joking and stuff was it just seems weird coming from Jimmy Kimmel. A lot of the jokes, it's like, I don't think you really think that, but
yeah, I think I missed some of most of like his monologues and jokes and stuff like that, because I saw a lot on Twitter when I finally was able to get service, and I just saw most of the people accepting awards and like who won and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I think I cut out the middleman in that one and just
saw. It's usually what I do. I just thought like I might as well just watch some of it. And I'll watch like some of the acceptance speeches after. I usually, anytime the Oscars are on, though, I just end up going to YouTube and rewatching when Lord of the Rings won Best Picture, or when Martin Scorsese won Best Director.
Because those are that's real film,
right? That's real cinema.
Yeah,
real cinema, Blake.
Did anyone have a really awkward acceptance speech or uncomfortable?
No,
you know, someone always has to do something that's weird.
Not really. I think Brendan Fraser's was a little weird because he was making whale puns the whole time.
but he's also just a He's a strange dude in a good way.
Yeah.
But he's also probably tired of talking about the movie because he's been to every single award ceremony. And you're like, what else can I say?
Yeah. And like, it wasn't anything like weird. You know, it wasn't like a Joaquin Phoenix thing, but it was just like, I was a little dumb making all these stupid puns. But no, although, you know, everything was pretty good. It seemed like Everything Everywhere All at Once kind of won a lot of stuff. Not everything, not a sweep like we thought. Well, I guess sweeping the big ones.
Yeah. The ones that matter. The
big awards. Because I know a lot of the tactical awards went to All Quiet on the Western Front, which I still haven't seen.
You know, they're playing it at the, not to dox us, the theater where by where we live.
You might need to get a little water. You need a water?
Ooh.
Go get yourself a...
I wanted...
There's a lot happening right now.
How long?
This would be an e-break, Jay.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna roll with it.
Here,
I want to get you some water. No. The water's not gonna help. I have coffee. The water's not gonna help. It's
someone punch him in the throat.
Here, take some of this water.
Okay, we're back, boys. They're playing All Quiet on the Western Front at the theater. I wanted to see yesterday, and I was like, you know what? Let's watch the movie that we're probably going to talk about today.
Yeah.
Let's watch Inside instead because it was a little quieter.
Uh-huh.
Holy mother effer. Did we make the wrong choice?
I'm still glad we saw it, but let's talk about that when we talk about it.
How long do you think it is before Brendan Fraser can actually eat pizza again? Do you think he's turned off by pizza?
Still.
There's probably a lot more pizza that he went through.
Well, how many takes do you think?
Yeah, exactly. You don't do that all in one take, and even if you're not eating the whole thing, come on.
Yeah,
come on.
God, pizza looks so good, though.
It does.
My roommate sent me a tweet. It was like an edited screenshot. It was like a YouTube video. It's like top 10 the whale's fattest moments. I just thought that's the funniest thing.
Does it have the part where he's putting the grape jam on the thing? I was like, bro. I like jelly too, but you know.
I like that.
No. I got to spread that shit out, dude. I can't eat the whole gloop of it or whatever the big giant thing of it's called when it comes out.
I think it's fat-phobic, not funny. And I think you guys are sick. And
okay, I can joke about it now, but then when you watch that movie, you feel sad as hell.
Yeah.
So
jelly.
Yeah.
You want to go through the winners?
Mm-hmm.
And we could talk about our little bracket. So Jay didn't fill out most of it.
I'm sorry. I had no signal. I was in the Caribbean.
Uh-huh.
Or the Caribbean.
Someone's got money over here.
It doesn't matter. Even if we went through the ones we picked live, Jay would have lost. And I would have won. I think it was 16 and you had 13. But
yeah,
putting them all together, like all the ones that we both picked, we were tied at 24.
Oh, so what should we do?
Well, it only matters who loses, and you lost, so now you got to do something for
us. What do you want me to do right now?
Well, we've got to figure out something for you to do.
Okay. Oh, I know what I want.
What?
He's winking.
It's just not on video. Where's the camera?
There's no camera.
Well, what are we doing here?
I don't know.
I'm out.
Maybe Jay has to watch
got to watch Inside.
A Serbian film?
Yeah, you got to watch Inside.
Oh, Bo Burnham?
No, yeah, I can not do that, the bro. Bo Burnham.
Yeah, I can do that. That's your favorite. You'll watch it with me.
No, the Willem Dafoe one.
You got to watch arguably the better Inside, the Willem Dafoe.
I'll watch that over like Babylon.
All right, you got to watch Babylon.
You got to watch
Babylon now. There you go.
I'm going to FaceTime Blake while we're watching it.
I'll kill myself.
If I have to watch that.
You got to watch Babylon.
You
got to
like Clockwork Orangey though. You can't blink. You can't close your eyes. Yeah. I'll sit there with the eye drops.
All right, we'll come up with a punishment, find out what it is.
Babylon. No. Okay. You got to watch it. Give us a review.
Okay.
All right.
You want it typed?
I want three paragraphs, MLA format.
Three? How many words?
I need 500 words.
Okay, I'm going to just go Babylon. I was going to
say ChatGPT.
Suck.
I think it was a good movie. I need the, but what do they call it when you show your work?
Your source is cited?
Your source is cited.
Okay.
You need a whole page on that.
The bibliography.
Do you want to?
Bibliography, there you go.
MLA format, APA, Chicago. Fuck, dude, why am I writing in Chicago?
I need you to write a one-page review of Babylon, and it can't just be Babylon sucks.
Okay.
I need you to be thorough and really give your opinions. Okay. Be an actual report.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
We need that by next week.
Next week?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Come on, we know you're not doing nothing.
Top 10 ain't hard.
You know,
Not that hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, how would you know?
I've done it before many times.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
As many times as me now?
Yeah, probably.
Then when?
I was there for a long time, Jay.
Like it's like a decade, bro.
Yeah.
And then that's like 10 years.
It's like 10 years, Jay. You're right. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. You know how to count.
I did. Learned that in college.
It's the... Anyway. Jesus. Got a freaking knuckle dragger on this podcast.
Ooh.
What does that mean?
It means you're not. It means you're a good guy, Jay.
Moose knuckle?
I love you. Moose knuckle.
Yeah, you got a moose knuckle.
Best Picture went to Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Best Picture went to Everything Everywhere All at Once.
That's my video or my movie.
Your movie?
Should have been Top Gun.
It shouldn't have been Top Gun. Do you really think it should have been Top Gun?
No. I told you that in the last one. In our last episode we recorded, I said, I don't think it should be Top Gun, but I could see why it would win.
Nothing for Tar, nothing for Fablemans, nothing for Banshees.
I was kind of sad nothing got Banshees.
Yeah, it sucks that those three were kind of shut out.
Trey, did I tell you I saw Tar? I did.
Oh,
tell
you did.
I did tell you. I very much liked it.
Okay, we.
I like Tar.
All right.
It so not to jump ahead, but like the movie that me and Trey did see yesterday, which we'll get into, was very short but felt very long. Tar was very long, but honestly felt very short.
Yeah,
I was very invested.
Tar is very good.
Yeah, I liked it because it was like it. I just.
It's
I,
like
I was rooting for her.
Yeah, we all were, but you know, she just they caught up with her and her bad stuff she was doing, and
yeah, I still think after seeing that, I still think I probably would have picked Michelle for best actress or leading actress. But with that being said, if Everything Everywhere All at Once didn't exist,
right?
I think she would have been hands
down. Oh yeah, it would have been no,
because she carried that movie. There was an intensity that she brought.
Yeah.
That if she didn't have that 100% every scene, the movie wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't have
worked. No, yeah, it's her. It's very Daniel Day-Lewis and There Will Be Blood.
100%. But with that being said, I'm still glad that Everything All at Once.
Yeah, I'm glad Michelle Yeoh won.
Yeah, as far as Best Picture, I think that movie all around was better than Tar. But if you just isolated.
I don't know about that at all.
I think it's more enjoyable. The rewatchability. Okay. I think the historical, like in 20 years, people are still going to be talking about Everything Everywhere All at Once.
People are going to be talking about Tar as well, honestly.
But the normal people are people like us that watch movies.
Probably weirdos like us.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Normal people.
Weirdos.
Yeah, normal people, I think 20 years will be like Everything Everywhere All at Once is a great freaking movie.
Sure.
I don't think people are going to remember Tar outside of me and you.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
You know what's funny is I haven't seen people just say they kind of liked Everything Everywhere All at Once. See, they're like, oh, I couldn't finish that movie. It sucked. Or everyone thinks it's like perfect.
Yeah, and exactly.
There's like no in between. It's kind of weird.
Which is why I think it's got that longevity behind it, because it's got that divisiveness.
I think it is probably the most memorable Best Picture winner since maybe Parasite. And then before that, I don't even know. And I guess I could pull up all the Best Picture winners, but we are on kind of a time.
You don't know them. Yeah. You don't know them all off the top of your head.
No, that'd be a good
as
Super
a cinephile.
Trick. That'd be
you
a good
know
trick.
That.
A little party trick.
What is your party trick?
I don't have one.
Well, we got to work on that.
Don't have one.
Crying in the bathroom.
You were going to the bathroom.
No, I said crying in the bathroom.
I just opened up my phone and there was a giant picture of Jamie Lee Curtis there nude. I forgot we were looking that up.
It's my profile pic.
I'll send it right now. Do it.
Lead actor went to Brendan Fraser of Brendan Fraser's
Fraser.
The Whale. Frazier.
It's Fraser.
No love for Paul Mescal after Sun.
Yeah, I was going to text
he's
you.
He's not Brendan.
It's all good. I'm just glad he was nominated. I'm glad that movie got a little bit of recognition.
He'll always be Oscar nominated.
Yeah, he
or
will.
Academy Award nominated.
And I mean, like, we have a story, you know, like he's going to be in the Ridley Scott's Gladiator 2 as the lead. And now Perry Keegan's going to be in it.
Oh, I'm loving that.
The
he's
villain.
Just, he's getting
little,
to be a household
freak.
Name.
Yeah.
He's our little freak.
He is.
And, he's our Paul
and
Dano.
Also, yeah. And also, and also Denzel Washington.
Even though they
is
were
now,
both in the Batman.
Denzel Washington's now in talks to be in the movie. So.
I saw that. That'd probably be really good, though.
Yeah. I'm interested in that. If all those people are in it.
I love the first Gladiator. It's been a while since I've seen it. But man, anytime
it.
I see it on.
What?
I saw it.
What?
I know it's
he's never
good.
Seen it. Yeah. Oh my god. All right. That's one we gotta watch.
I'm down.
It'll get you so hype. It's a high T movie at the same time. It's slow,
really?
But it Yeah, it's a high T movie.
That's a movie where one of the actors died halfway through, and they had to use I think it was like the slave owner, like of. He was like a Indian guy, I believe.
I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah, and I guess he died halfway through. They had to like use effects to like recreate him or something.
That's unfortunate.
Man, that would have been hard to do in 99 too.
Yeah, yeah. I was about to say that movie's not new.
But at the same time, Ridley Scott budget, they would have been able to.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that, yeah, I think they might have used like other footage of him or something, you know.
Yeah, still though.
Probably like tasteful lighting, you know, where. Were there close-up shots of him after that?
Yeah. I don't know. Like,
man, we got to watch that movie because Joaquin Phoenix is so good in that movie. You're going to hate him.
Really?
He's a great villain.
He's the thumbs down guy.
He's the one they call
guy.
Caesar.
Yeah.
Because he goes mad with power. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong.
The
like,
fight scene's awesome.
Yeah, I definitely want to. I'd be down. I mean, we can watch it here. Trey's got this biggest TV in Dallas, Texas.
That's not that big. There's bigger. I don't have Connor's TV where it looks like his TV looks like Michael Scott's TV in the
the little tiny one.
Yeah, me and Austin awesome shit for that. Yeah, hi
you
Connor.
You should just take those off the wall right there and get a projector.
I could do that. Yeah, but I TV is fine. TV is a smart TV. It's great.
Oh yeah, how smart is it?
It's pretty damn
What's two
smart.
Plus two?
I don't think it knows.
Can
that.
I get on Pornhub?
Lead actress, Michelle Yeoh, we just talked about her. Supporting actor, Kei Kwan, for Everything Everywhere All at Once. He had a really good speech.
He also 100% deserved that. I'm glad that people weren't just like, oh, it's nice. Like, people could see that as like a charity case. Like, oh, he tried so hard to get back into Hollywood. Now he's in it. Now he's in a successful movie. His ability to flip between the regular guy and like the alternate universe, parallel universe, it was insane. And after rewatching that the second time, like a week before the Oscars, all I could think about was, damn, he is a really good supporting role. He's obviously not the main character. He's not the lead. He's not in every single scene, but he's damn near close to it. And I won't say he carried it because everybody else is good, but if he wasn't as good, I don't think that movie would have been as good.
I mean, all the acting winners are actors that have either had a long career and this is sort of their lifetime achievement, or they're having a comeback. Because
Michelle
Yeoh's been in the industry for a long time.
Oh, after Brendan Fraser did Looney Tunes, you know he could do the
Yeah.
If he can act with Bugs Bunny, he can be in a fat suit.
Jamie Lee Curtis has been in the industry for a long time. I don't think she should have won, but whatever.
I can't believe has that her first nomination?
Oh, probably. I mean, I don't think she's ever
I just know
been
she's
in
been
that.
In so many things. Yeah. It's just hard to...
Wait, ever? Or for supporting
actress? That's what I'm just thinking, like, first nomination ever. I'm not thinking of supporting actress. I'm just thinking, is that her first Oscar nomination?
Oh, probably.
She was in Christmas with the Cranks.
Yeah.
You're telling me that didn't get nominated?
Halloween.
Yeah.
Halloween 2. Why didn't that win Best Picture?
Halloween Forever, the best
H2O.
Halloween movie. She was in H2O. After being out for, like, three of the Halloween movies.
Yeah. Best director is the Daniels for Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Love those guys.
Animated feature.
Freaky Friday. Why didn't she get nominated for that?
Yeah.
She should have.
What the heck?
Like, that song goes hard at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that song slaps.
Animated feature, we have Pinocchio.
I really want to see that.
It is very good. It's on Netflix. It's great.
It is on Netflix? Because I love that style of animation, the stop motion and all that. Like,
we don't have
Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
I actually didn't realize that was stop motion until Trey said it before you got here today.
Such an art, too. Like, it's really, really pretty.
And like,
and
they
hand
did it.
You know how frustrating that is to get every little shot and like perfect like that? I can imagine it would just be so
it's
stressful.
It's like 20.
But it's beautiful.
Is each frame a shot? Is that how they do it?
Yes.
So is there 7 frames or 20 something, 24 frames per second?
What's the frames a second?
Yeah, that's the
so you know
the going
you're
one.
Literally going moving their hand up like ever so slightly if they're waving it up to say hi. So just doing an animation of lifting your hand up and waving could take like 3 or 4 days. Just going,
that is so not worth it.
Well, No.
I'm saying
Do you have an Oscar to show for it?
Yeah, I don't think you have an Oscar.
No, I mean like, oh, I just can't imagine.
Sorry,
doing
Puss
that.
In Boots didn't win.
If that was stop motion,
I thought Puss in Boots was stop motion until right now.
No, it was like that 3D comic. Yeah. It was like that mix of 3D and 2D, the comic book it was style so of animation.
Cool, oh, it was yeah, great. It no, was it was so a very good cool. movie. Original screenplay went to Everything Everywhere All at Once. I know that Bear. Adapted screenplay went to Women Talking. Have you guys seen Women Talking yet?
I'll see that every day at school.
Hey, man. Hey,
I see it a little too much, if you know what I'm saying.
Hey. I just talked to my wife. Man, that's women talking tomorrow, right?
And I hate her.
You talking every day, dude.
Women
what
talking?
Are you talking about?
Hey, man.
No, I haven't seen that, though.
I have not either.
I almost saw it, and then I ended up not being available that day. And then just like Tar, the next day, it was gone.
Tar's great.
I think Women Talking, I mean, I like the subject matter. I think it's a very heavy episode, a very heavy movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's important, I think, but. Yeah.
You don't have to say it's important if you don't think it's important.
His hands was in his face.
Yeah, I'm scratching. Like, yeah. No, it's really important, I swear.
Do you know what it's about?
Yeah, it's about like a religious little group and there's a lot of sexual assault going on.
Yeah,
and
okay,
the girls
okay.
are
yeah, yeah, yeah.
trying to like, they've been told that they have like given 48 hours to forgive them or if they don't, it's their fault. Yeah, very heavy movie.
It is important, by
yeah.
the way.
And I just didn't see it that day and it was gone. I wanted to for that reason. I support women.
I know you do. I do too. I think we all support. I think, you know what? I'm going to say this. This podcast is pro women.
Yeah,
about that?
I'm not afraid to say it.
Very pro.
Very yeah. pro women.
I wish every month was March.
I do too.
Yeah.
And February.
You know what? Why
and
are they
June?
Not? Yeah, February yeah. too. February.
Yeah.
And October.
Probably February 1st.
Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We support the women.
Yeah.
I agree. Every especially, month should be a month.
Especially that part.
What were you
like
showing?
Jamie Lee Curtis?
Boobs.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
cinematography right.
I didn't
went
get
to.
I keep forgetting this isn't videoed.
Yeah, cinematography went to All Quiet on the Western Front. All Quiet on the Western Front won a bunch of technical awards. I'm not going to go through everything here, but film editing went to Everything Everywhere. All. It was pretty much either Everything Everywhere All at Once or All Quiet on the Western Front.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, that's makeup did go to the Whale. It did go to the Whale.
I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is crazy that three fat suits were up for best.
Was it Oz Cobblepot?
Yeah, you have Elvis and the Whale. So three fat suits. I guess Elvis was sort of in a fat suit too at the
end. He was at the end, dude. He was a big old dude eating all those fried peanut butter banana sandwiches.
So
did he really go through a whole jar of peanut butter a day for those?
Probably.
I think I read that.
Yeah, that dude, like, he loved Southern comfort food, and he, like, if you looked at some of the stuff he ate, he was eating some emotions.
I feel that. That was me yesterday.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he's from the Deep South, so he knows what real Southern cooking was like, so he was eating the good stuff.
He knows what that shit tastes like.
He was eating the good stuff, mm-hmm. so he may have been sad, but at least he was eating some good
stuff.
He was
eating Lolo's fried chicken and waffles.
Ugh.
Oh, I can't stop.
And that, you know... beats the stuff that Willem Dafoe was eating in the movie we saw. Look at that. That was a segue.
Why does Willem Dafoe do the weirdest things on screen?
That was 10 years of radio, Jay, right there.
What did he eat?
What did he eat?
He ate some truffle with some caviar on it. So the movie started off with him eating pretty good, and then he got to aquarium fish, dog food. What else was he eating? He was just...
He found like a pantry at some point that had some stuff. All right, let's talk about this. So we saw the movie Inside, not Bo Burnham.
Why does he always do weird things in movies?
He's a weirdo.
The Lighthouse, there was the Northman.
The Lighthouse is great.
Well, no, and I'm so not saying, but I saw his whole ass and a whole bunch of things in the Lighthouse I didn't expect to see from him.
We saw a lot of him in Inside.
And Antichrist, he got his balls smashed.
I think it's
jerking him off. Yeah, it's too much. I was like, what are you doing, Willem?
He was in the Florida Project. He was very normal in that. Florida Project's really good. Like, he plays a normal guy in that.
Well, that's Spider-Man.
Not so much normal.
Yeah, he's a kind of freak.
Yeah. I think you're writing and directing a movie. It's like, oh, Willem Dafoe would be great in playing this weird role.
Yeah.
And B, he's all up for it. Like, he's always said that he likes doing, you know, interesting things and weird stuff. So I think it's a double kind of relationship there.
I'll tell you what, so when we get into this, I hated the movie, but I loved Willem Dafoe in it.
He had nothing to do with what made that movie not great.
Yeah, he was amazing in that, and you really could see him going insane over the time period, the unexplained time period. But yeah, that It's so funny because that's one of those movies that on paper should work. Acting was great.
It's a great idea.
The set was amazing. Acting was great.
It was an interesting looking apartment. The apartment looked, and it has like one of the things.
You sure, this isn't Bo Burnham's inside.
It's not.
Empty apartment. One dude doing weird things,
singing.
It's kind of all he does. What's going on? He does stand up at one point.
He does stand up and he sings.
It is pretty much Bo Burnham inside, but a lot worse
with more physical shit, with a pile of shit,
and there is a literal shit tub.
So
pretty much he is an art thief, and right at the beginning they're breaking into this
common
apartment.
Job. I was going to say, but I can think of the... Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
They're breaking this apartment, trying to steal some art. It's like this... Is he an art collector or a painter?
He's a sketch artist. Or he's got a sketch
artist. No. The guy they're robbing.
Oh, he's just a collector.
Okay. So they're stealing some work from him. The movie doesn't really tell you who Willem Dafoe is. It doesn't really explain anything. There's really not any hints to anything.
There's no story behind this movie.
I think if you had more to it, like you had some kind of monologue or some kind of person for him to interact with, it could have been better. Also, you know, they mentioned this guy's out in the Czech Republic.
No, Kazakhstan.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Pretty much they get in, things start going wrong. He gets trapped in the apartment and can't get out. And there's really no timeline where you're like, how long has he been in here for? It must have been a long time.
It snowed once.
But there were fireworks. So was this.
Also, after the movie, I read a little bit about it.
Okay.
Apparently, you know how there was that scene with the bird?
Yeah.
That he became friends with and then died and they got eaten by maggots. Apparently, the bird got trapped there because he came in through a bird net, something like that.
Okay.
So the bird got trapped there, and over time, the bird was chilling there, lived, died, decomposed all over like the course of that time. So however long that took, plus probably a lot more time. So it was at least that long.
Which I don't even know how long that is. They should have.
I think that was their idea of giving us a timeline. And we're like, I don't know birds like that.
Yeah. I don't know birds like that. And then you don't know like how long is this guy going to be gone for? I think it could have added stakes if you knew the time period this guy was gone for.
Also, his beard didn't grow out.
Yeah, that was the other thing I
noticed. That's what was confusing me. I was like, either grow the beard out.
There was no beard growth.
That is the main thing in the movie trope about how long a dude's been trapped
and
somewhere.
Even
it's
like,
his beard grows.
Even
his
if
hair
he's
grows.
Able to shave, like he's going insane. He's not
you
thinking
know
about
Willem
shaving
Dafoe
at some
grow
point.
A beard.
And, oh yeah, I've seen it myself.
Yeah, so like they could have. Yeah, I think the hair growth would have gone a long way.
Long hair up here, like I don't know anything.
Yeah, so there was no timetable. It was good at first, and it wasn't like it was good and got bad. It just started just dragging as the movie went on because he's trying to get out and find different ways to get out, but he's also going insane, and it's just there's nothing really, there's no substance to any of it. There's no reason to any of it. And then at the end, they try to tie in some weird philosophical thing about what this movie's about, but it just doesn't fit.
But also, I don't know what they're trying to say.
Right. I don't know either.
They were getting very...
It's for deeper minds than us.
Yeah, obviously. Because, like, there was symbolism in there towards the end. Like, I know those drawings on the wall had to mean something.
Yeah, he starts drawing, like, real, little like, cult drawings and...
Yeah, I don't know. The first thing I said, that would have been a really cool idea for a short film.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking the whole time. Like, this would have been cool, a cool short film. It was too long. It was fun to watch Willem Dafoe, but I mean, there's no reason to it. You don't know who this guy is. It wasn't like anything really that interesting was happening to him. There were no stakes. There was no timer going down. There's no anything.
I think my one of my problems is like, for me to, you have to make me care about this character. They did nothing to make us care about him. So it's like, we didn't have any personal stock in him getting out. I could care less if he died in there. Not that I want Willem Dafoe to die in there, but this character, he wasn't really likable. He wasn't dislikable. He wasn't anything. He wasn't a character.
But that
he
can work, but you need to have more, you know, some kind of like, I mean, and I guess like something like 128 Days Later. You know, you do learn about that guy as the movie goes on. And yeah, you got to have something to kind of, but even if you don't want to do that, you got to have some kind of just something else where you can kind of connect to it.
Also, the line that they repeat at the end where he said, when I was asked what I would take in a fire, I said my sketchbook, my cat, and my this album. I didn't say my parents or my sister. That really didn't mean anything.
Right. Yeah.
That didn't mean it. I thought that was going to tie back in something with his parents, something, anything. No. The only reason we
he
know
just likes parents. Art.
He does like art. And not only was he surrounded by art, he was also making art.
He was.
While he was trapped.
Yeah, it's, man, it's not good.
Picasso would have liked this movie?
No. There's some cool imagery.
I think he would have.
Like, if you...
Is it pretentious?
I don't even know if it's...
So the thing is, if I wish it was pretentious, because then it'd be like, okay, that was the idea behind it. Because
I think we're talking about Infinity Pool.
Yeah. Infinity Pool is pretentious.
They were trying to really do something interesting there, and it maybe didn't work.
Yeah.
But they were trying to do something about... sadomasochism or whatever, you know, and control and stuff like that.
Pleasures of the body. Yeah. Pleasures of the flesh.
They're trying to do something with that. And you could at least be like, okay, I get where they're going for. I didn't understand what they were going for here at all.
I think...
David Lynch, you could say he's pretentious or... But he has a message. Like, you can decipher kind of what that is. You know, like Eraserhead. Like, I couldn't follow Eraserhead as much as I wanted to, but I'm like, I understand what he's going for here.
There was a couple scenes where I thought it was going to go the direction of like, okay, this guy is surrounded by millions of dollars worth of art, but that doesn't matter when you're trapped in a room with no food, no water, all that $1 million art is worthless, which towards the end proves to it because he uses those art pieces to try to escape and he tears them up. He destroys them. And it's this guy that originally found, he was trying to steal them to sell them because it's all valuable. But then they 100% lose their value whenever everything else is taken away, like whenever your humanity is taken away, which I think would have been a really cool angle if they explored that a little more. But they were just like touching on it. And like the scenes of him surviving off of caviar and truffle, like how, in what world... Does anybody need to survive off that stuff? Because it's typically very expensive, very rich, you know, food. But it's like when that's all you have, there's no substance behind that. There's no substance behind art. There's no substance behind that super expensive food, that lifestyle, whenever, you know, everything else is taken away. And I wanted that to be where the movie was going, but then it just kind of didn't. It just kind of stopped.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because that would be like, okay, I get that. That it's like a... Everybody, we're sick of social commentaries, or at least I am. But it's like, I wish it would have been that.
Every movie is a social commentary.
Yeah. I don't know. But then,
I mean, even something like Step Brothers is a social commentary.
About really fun bros.
It's okay. This is, you need to.
You millennials don't want to work anymore. It's just the idea of
conforming into social norms. Like, these guys are not in the social norm and they need to learn to conform into a social norm. So yeah, I mean, you could find social commentary in everything,
and they lost what made them special.
Right.
Can I propose a question?
Sure.
Would you have seen this movie if it didn't have Willem Dafoe in it?
Oh,
or
probably,
would have liked it
probably, or, not, because I think that was a selling point, right? Willem Dafoe him. And he's doing weird. Yeah, I think that's a big selling point.
Yeah.
I don't know if
I probably would have seen it just because the premise looked
pretty
cool.
Yeah, the premise did look good.
They had a really good job with marketing it.
I think hearing it's bad, I still wanted to see it because of Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
I guess.
I didn't even know it was bad until you told me on the way to the movie.
Yeah.
No, on the way to the movie. Yeah. Hey, this movie sucks.
I was like,
good thing we got two tickets for it.
Well, I just wanted to let you know.
Technically I had two free tickets today.
Yeah.
But I
couldn't wait.
No, I couldn't wait.
Is that ADHD?
I haven't taken my Strattera yet.
Oh,
I gotta go see this movie. No, I actually did take it today.
I'm glad you're taking your meds.
I take too many meds.
Oh no.
Starting to get raccoon eyes.
Dude, I worry about you a lot, Blake.
Hey, so do
I. I'm worrying. I need to talk to your therapist. We need to...
I don't think she's working.
Oh, no.
She's working a little...
So, out of five, what will you rank it?
One.
I think I gave it a two.
One.
Two out of five.
It takes a lot for me to sit up halfway through with my hands in my face, just being like, should I leave? And I did that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just didn't go anywhere.
Did you take a bathroom break?
If
a movie makes me take a bathroom break, I'm just like, all right, well, this is perfect. Because sometimes I have to take one and I don't want to.
Yeah.
And then there's times where I'm just like, you know, if I do it, I know I'm not going to miss a damn thing.
So that's kind of how I felt during Avatar, the second one. Like, it was so long.
Yeah, there's so much going on. I was like, who cares if I miss five?
Yeah, I'm going to miss it anyways. Even if I'm sitting here, I'm not going to catch everything.
I think I fell asleep both times, different parts.
Yeah. It's a good movie, though. Like, 100%. Yeah, the story was great, but I'm just, yeah, that's an example of a movie that I can go pee in.
So. I don't recommend seeing it, Jay.
Avatar?
No, Inside.
One
Bo
person
Burnham
that doesn't
one.
Recommend Avatar 2.
So, you want me to watch Babylon?
Yes.
I don't recommend Inside.
I want it, for the punishment, I want him to watch Inside.
Do we want him to watch Inside?
No, I'm
going to
watch Babylon.
All right.
And write a review.
Just because Blake hates it so much.
I will say there's probably going to be more substance in that review of Babylon than Inside.
100%. I only want to watch it because Tobey Maguire.
Well, Babylon's a good movie.
That's why I do love Tobey.
Yeah.
Babylon's a good movie.
Yeah, if you like bad movies.
I love, this is the dichotomy of man here. Yeah. I love it.
Never said I loved it, but it is a good movie.
You guys stop pointing the guns at each other, okay? It's getting very intense right now.
I know it's no...
I got a license to carry. I'm not afraid
no
to use it.
It's no dirty work.
Ah, right? Cinema gold. Can I say RIP to Lance Reddick, bro?
Yeah, I was
that
about
made
to...
Me,
was
that
about
made me
to
really sad.
Get into this. Lance Reddick dead at 60. Is there anything that says why?
It just said natural causes. They didn't
That's
say...
That's pretty young.
Yeah, 60 is very young. And I mean, he was posting on his... Instagram and all that stuff the other day of him being at home and just chilling with his dogs, and he seemed like to be in a very happy mood.
Yeah, not only young, but he's like in pretty decent shape.
Yeah.
Like when I saw he was 60, I was like, there's no way he's older than 43.
Yeah, he's been working for a very long time.
He's
got that black don't crack thing though. He's
Dude,
just
they,
always
they never
young.
Do.
Yeah.
Cuz I'm almost done with The Wire and I had just gotten done watching an episode.
I almost texted you whenever I
really?
Saw that.
I was watching. I just finished an episode, and I go on Twitter, and that's when I see your retweet of it. And I was like, "What the hell?"
Yeah,
it's shot. It's like that's not someone you would think would be like near death.
But
right?
He's still in a lot of
John Wick
things like right now, like that are in post production.
Yeah.
So like he's gonna appear like three or four things.
Big actor, like works. You know, a lot.
He went through.
He was
movies.
Lost. Yeah, dude. Like, he was the voice of the villain in the Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, I was gonna
games.
Say he's done video games, movies, and TV. Like he had a very broad spectrum of things that he did. I loved it. And he always portrayed like himself, and he had intense eyes too,
he
man.
Was
he
very,
never had to yell.
He he had that look that looked, you know, intimidating, and he had that voice and all that. Like, yeah, he was in a bunch of stuff. So that
his
sucks,
Eric Andre interview is
that
probably
Eric Andre
top
stuff
tier
is great.
Because that's like one of the only times a guest has actually legitimately freaked out Eric Andre.
Yeah.
I haven't actually seen that one.
The producers didn't told Lance Reddick to do some things, and they didn't tell Eric, and Lance was in on it, and that was like the only time a guest has been
I was about to say, no guest, that's like the whole shtick, is like, that the guests aren't in on it. Because
at one point, Lance gets up and punches his desk, and you see like Eric like jump back, and he's like freaked out, because he wasn't expecting that.
He got out Eric Andre.
Yeah, and he just goes, you need a new desk, and he walks off. And you're like, what? And then he comes back out in full... slave gear and then Star Trek gear and handcuffs, and he goes, I wish I were LeVar Burton, and he just starts chanting that, and Eric Andre's like, what is happening right now? I puts the hands up. It is so funny.
That is
only time he's ever been Eric Andre's been out Eric Andre.
I'm gonna have to watch that.
So rip
yeah. RIP to a legend. He's gonna play Zeus in that new Percy Jackson series.
Is he
on
still
Disney
really?
Plus. They wrapped up the first season like a month ago. So they're gonna make like five seasons of it because it's gonna follow each book. So we only get him for that one, but at least he'll have a couple things that are gonna be coming out after his death. So that will be cool to still celebrate him at least.
Yeah.
John Wick 4,
I think they film 4 and 5 back to back.
Maybe
because I think that's what I heard. So he should still be in 5 if they got that.
I didn't even know there was a fifth one as well.
Yeah, it got greenlit right after 3, 4, and 5 both. All right,
cool.
Quentin Tarantino's final film is coming. Is filmmakers ready for The Movie Critic? That's what the movie's going to be called. This is his 10th and final movie. I guess logline details are being kept in a suitcase, but sources describe the story as being set in the late 70s, Los Angeles, with a female lead as its center.
Boy, Quentin Tarantino does love that golden age of Hollywood.
Yeah. He does, and I guess the possibility... it is possible the story focuses on Pauline Kael, one of the most influential movie critics of all time. Kael, who died in 2001, was not just a critic, but also an essayist and novelist. She was known for her pugnacious fights with editors as well as filmmakers. I'm trying to read this, but I think a lot of her thing was she was very anti-big studio movie and was more into the more indie small films. So this... You know, Tarantino has been outspoken about the Marvel stuff, and this might be a big send-off for Tarantino, and maybe a little more commentary about sort of the film industry.
Do we think he's going to go Tarantino on this last one, or do you think he's going to go, he's going to tank?
I think he's lightened up on that a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
Because even in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, like that last,
it is,
last scene.
He waited like until the very end to do it. And it was a lot, but at the same time, it was still very light for Tarantino. I think he's kind of easing up on that aspect of it and trying to be more of the writer.
Yeah. I don't dialogue. Think, I want to think he wants to win Best Picture. Yeah. But he's never said it. He's always said he wants to be like the most best writer. He wants to win the most best writer awards ever.
I get that. And his dialogue in the movies has always been good. Like, I love all the dialogue in Pulp Fiction and like Reservoir Dogs.
They're but so I, wordy, I wonder but if he's like, yeah, I want to make this I want to make this accessible so I win Best Picture. Because I bet
it's
you
not
this
Kill
is,
Bill.
Yeah, yeah, I bet you.
Maybe this movie will save this movies again.
Again.
Top Gun and
another
then this.
Pandemic.
I bet you this has a... I mean, obviously, it has a strong possibility to win Best Picture, but I bet you it wins. I bet you he wins Best Director, because he's way overdue.
Yeah.
Way overdue.
Never won Best
no,
Director?
Never.
I have a movie that's been greenlit.
What?
We're getting a sequel to one of the greatest movies of all time.
Oh, Dirty Work?
Good Burger.
Oh, yeah.
I get a Good Burger, too.
I do have
Kenan
that story as well. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We'll see how that soda. Works. 26 years later.
I probably have all of Good Burger memorized.
Oh, me too. I have that on that orange VHS.
Orange VHS, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have that
Such
too,
a good
yeah.
movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's, dumb. That's coming to Paramount Plus.
I was
think it's a sauce, boss.
Yeah.
I know that.
when I went on this cruise last week, the band Less Than Jake was on there.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm a dude.
One,
of course
the one,
they were.
I'm a dude. They didn't play it, though, and I was yelling it.
What? They played that on Warp Tour.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Damn. Even when I was at Warp Tour, I said, hey, on the 311 cruise 2023, play it. My boy's going to be there.
Yeah. Oh,
but this, it, to be fair, this was Warp Tour 2013, so 10 years.
I appreciate you looking out for me.
Yeah, I always do.
But they were still awesome.
Yeah, they play...
Science
of Selling Yourself Short.
Johnny Quest.
What's the one? All My Friends Are Metalheads.
Yep.
They sounded boring.
Just like they did on an album. Like,
really?
You couldn't tell that they were been a band for like 30 years.
What's the song? It's Another in a Boring Town. Another. Just Talk to This Girl.
Oh, yeah. Just talk to this girl. Oh, that's
down my street.
That's History of a Boring Town.
Yeah. I think that's my second or third favorite. It's such a good song. The chorus is just.
How can you not like ska music, bro?
Dude, same. Literally, that's how I feel. People like will clown on it because there's
I
a lot
ska.
Of.
Like fun.
Like Mustard or Mustard Head and. Like, even like back, like the Mad Caddies are great.
Real Big Fish. As a former trombone player, that's why I love it, because it's like, I don't want to be playing classical music. I want to be doing what that dude's doing on stage, kicking around. Bow, 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 bow,
I want to play Mighty Boss Tones. It's, yeah. They got too convoluted. It got too, I think ska was a victim of its own success. Too many nerdy ska bands.
The best part of the Mighty Mighty Boss Stones was the one band member who just danced.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't play an instrument. He didn't sing. He just danced the whole set.
I love it. I
Good
love
Burger
it.
2.
According to Paramount Plus logline, Good Burger 2 sees Dexter down on his luck after another one of his inventions fails. Ed welcomes Dex back to Good Burger with open arms and gives him his job back. With a new crew working at Good Burger, Dex devises a plan to get back on his feet, but unfortunately puts the fate of Good Burger at risk once again.
No way Dan Schneider.
I was about to say, I can't wait for Dan Schneider to still be the manager.
You know it's going to have cameos from almost everyone else, though.
Yeah.
Except the old dude who cooked fries.
Based on the script, it appears none of the original film supporting cast, which includes Sinbad, Shar Jackson, Linda Cardellini, and cameos from Shaquille O'Neal and George Clinton, will return for the sequel. Okay.
None? Or
wait,
will?
Shaq
none.
Will?
Oh, no.
Oh.
It's okay. You know they'll do something. And some characters
wait,
will show up.
I'm hearing Carmen Electra. I didn't hear her name not being on that list.
Is your butt okay?
I don't remember anyone who was in that movie.
Carmen Electra
was, but she wasn't on that list. That means she's going to be in it.
Also, the reboot.
Sinbad was funny. My afro.
My favorite. Oh, sorry.
So Dan, all right. Two of the 97's original writers, Kevin Coplo and Heath Safier, are returning to pen the screenplay.
Okay.
They'll potentially be joined by James III, who wrote the short-lived 2009. The reboot is in discussion. All right. All that reboot and is in discussion to join Good Burger 2. The original film's other credited writer is Dan Schneider, whom Nickelodeon parted ways with in 2018 after reports alleging abusive behavior on the show. Oh,
and
needless to say, he won't be returning.
Yeah, there's no way Dan Schneider
he's not
be
coming back.
I think the funniest moment in the entire movie, and I still think about it all the time, is whenever they rip their clothes off and Ed's wearing like the female underwear.
Oh, yeah.
Nowhere for no reason. So
I think my favorite in that movie is like in the very beginning when he's showering and he's just in full Good Burger gear already.
Or when he's like, well, I don't remember what my dad looks like either, but at least I get to see him every day.
That was a great movie. I'm going to watch that again. I haven't watched it in a while.
You guys should, reboot it. We'll rewatch it and talk about it.
That's a good movie that you could enjoy it absolutely sober, but also absolutely shit-faced. It's still going to be fun.
I think it's been over 20 years since I've seen
it.
He's
like, we need to watch it.
He's like, what's Mondo Burger? Ed, you know that building they've been building across the street for like a year now?
Yeah.
That's Mondo Burger.
That's literally
a giant ass building.
That is literally my roommate Michael, the pilot, the one that I talk about all the time, who I love to death. Like literally like something like that. Like The Last of Us movie, you know, the biggest TV show of the last probably 3 years or whatever, as far as like in the social zeitgeist. We were at the gym and I was like, hey Michael, do you watch The Last of Us? What's that?
Yeah.
What do you mean? I said, what internet are you on? And he's literally, he didn't know about the game. He didn't know about anything.
Wow.
It's just like tunnel vision. And it's so funny because that is Ed. Ed is just my roommate, Michael.
Good Burger was my introduction to George Clinton and that side of funk music.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know what, like, at the time, I was like, whoa, this is fantastic. Because I thought it was made for the movie. And then once I discovered it, I was like, whoa, this is real.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I love George Clinton and Funkadelic.
Well, maybe we'll Maybe we'll talk about Good Burger next week. Maybe
we watch it
by next week.
I'll be down.
All right. Well, that's the podcast this week. We have a short little 52. We're going to get you out of here in time to watch some basketball play.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
All right.
Go Mean Green, baby.
We'll see you guys next week.
Peace.
And more next time on Super Films Cast 64.